being able to make a comeback, you know, to not just let it, you know, fade away.
I think being close to the games and being around broadcasting and having access to so much more information just deepened that connection, especially to baseball.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, I'll be turning things over to my colleague Jackie Orchard. As we look ahead to spring, baseball season, and maybe a return to normal. Well, if you've ever played the MLB Trivia Challenge board game, you may have wondered, where did all these statistical questions come from? As Jackie found out, they were created long before Google, and the game itself is the result of one upstate New York man's life's work. Here's Jackie.
And Fisk will lead it off, has a single and has walked twice. And the wind blowing out. There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run. We will have a seventh game in this
1975 World Series. Probably one of the most memorable, you know, of all time. You know, great seven-game World Series between the Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds, a big red machine. Carlton Fisk's famous sixth game home run that sent it to a seventh game, where he's waving furiously for the ball to stay fair, making it a game-winning home run. So that was one of the signature.
Tom Merritt first had the idea to invent a baseball trivia game in 1974 when he was in grad school for sports administration at Ohio University.
We would get together, you know, socially, you know, out of class, and seemed like invariably that if someone had a baseball encyclopedia, the men sort of gravitated to a room and they were gathered around that baseball encyclopedia and started, you know, quizzing each other.
He realized he wanted to make a trivia board game that would play like a sport.
So I thought at that point, if I could find a way to package sports trivia into a format that, you know, actually was a game, not just a quiz. A quiz is a whole bunch of questions. A game that had elements of strategy and luck besides the essential game of knowledge, that, you know, I might be able to do something with it.
Merritt had no idea he was starting a 45-year journey to see it made. In 1975, Merritt got a job doing publicity for NBC Sports in New York City. During this time, his board game dream was on pause. But over a decade later, he left NBC to become executive director of Thoroughbred Racing Communications, and over the years had been tinkering with an idea to have some sort of grid square board game trivia challenge, filled with sports statistics, but also requiring strategy. By 1993, after countless pieces of cardboard and construction paper had been cut, Merritt had a playable model.
And it was just trial and error. I didn't have any mathematical wizardry. I would just, you know, plug in these values until all of a sudden I said, you know, Eureka, I've got this, you know, format here where they're all lined up, where it all works.
With a board ready, the next step was to test it out on some sports fans. Merritt called up some old friends from his NBC days to meet up in New York City and take the rough model for a spin.
I would lay out the game and they would play head to head. And those were very important sessions because, you know, they had fun. And it proved to me that I had a game that, you know, could entertain sports fans.
The same artist who designed Pictionary made him a sexier prototype, but Merritt says an unproven game from a novice inventor was a hard sell. Another problem? He had no way to mass produce it.
Because of all the custom artwork and the question cards and everything of that nature, I just said, well, this is probably going to be the end of the line. I've got this nice prototype, but I'm not going to be able to produce. I don't want to have 50,000 boxes in my garage somewhere and a huge bill as a result.
Looking for any way to get the game made, he developed a software version on CD. Merritt remembers buying all the jewel cases himself, adding barcodes and shrink wrap, and handing out the game for free at sporting events.
You know, taking laptops out to, could be to tastings at breweries, could be to sporting events, and seeing, I mean, I actually took, I was actually demonstrated the game outside the Times Union Center in Albany when the NCAA Wrestling Championships took place there.
Merritt says it was rough. He was getting positive feedback, but not making any money.
I would, like, almost beg, you know, stores, you know, to take it on consignment.
Merritt says his greatest stroke of luck came in the form of sportscaster Bob Costas, who enjoyed playing the CD version with his kids. Costas says baseball is a sport that celebrates statistics and memory. He says it's perfect for a trivia game.
Everything in baseball, everything, is quantified. Every at-bat, every third of an inning pitched, every ball fielded, every ball in play. Plus, it has the longest history of any of the team sports that we follow in America. Generational comparisons are more apt to come up in conversation regarding baseball than the other sports.
Costas says baseball's rhythm leaves plenty of room for obscure stats and forgotten trivia.
The pace of the game allows for conversation and comparison, whether you're watching the game on TV, sitting in the ballpark, or up in the broadcast booth talking about it. So these statistics and little oddities and anecdotes are just more part of the texture of baseball than other sports. They exist in other sports. They just exist to a greater extent, and they're more important in baseball. So there's a lot to tap into when it comes to a trivia game.
Merritt says even with Costas's endorsement, the game just didn't sell. Merritt's big break came in 2004 when USAopoly, a company that makes custom Monopoly games, needed Q&A content for a board game it planned under a license with ESPN.
They needed a board game format, and they also needed content, and I had both.
Merritt had over 2,000 questions and answers ready. The game became ESPN All Sports Trivia Challenge, and Merritt, who would receive royalties, was finally done hustling CDs. USAopoly also used Merritt's format for NFL Gridiron Trivia Challenge. Things were looking up, but 5 years later, another bump in the road. USAopoly decided its sports licenses were too costly, and the agreement was terminated. Fast forward to 2018, after freelancing for almost a decade, Merritt lost his main media relations account and turned his attention back to his dream. He did some research and found Masterpieces Incorporated, a publisher of puzzles and games. And another stroke of luck, Merritt realized the owner, David Rolls, happened to be a former college and minor league baseball player. So he asked for help from an old friend, Costas.
I thought his idea for a sports-based trivia game, Box Score, was a really good idea, like a sports version of Jeopardy. He had a little bit of trouble finding a home for it, but he stayed with it because he believed in it.
Costas wrote a letter to Rolls backing the game. Not long after, Merritt got a message from Rolls, who wanted to talk. Merritt sealed a licensing agreement in 2019 to write content for an MLB game. He spent months preparing 1,000 questions for the game. Merritt hadn't written trivia questions in about 15 years, and he says with new technology, the process was much easier, but still all-consuming.
It was an ongoing process. I used to keep, reporters' notebooks, and if I'm reading a newspaper story, I'm reading a Sports Illustrated or something, and I would circle, and I'd have all these magazines and things laying around with circles on them or dog-eared pages, meaning that there was something on that page that I could make a question out of. And it was a periodic thing. It was like ongoing. It was, almost like trivia had taken over my life.
Costas says he knows the feeling and has embraced it.
I think being close to the games and being around broadcasting and having access to so much more information just deepened that connection, especially to baseball. I always was into it when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, but now I just have a deeper knowledge of it and greater access to information should I want it.
Merritt later wrote another 500 questions for the NFL version. Both games, MLB Trivia Challenge and NFL Gridiron Trivia Challenge, are now available at the Masterpieces website and other retailers. But Merritt says his journey isn't over.
There is one more break I could get, and that is if someone, of influence is playing, this game, or just someone who says, this is a good game, this should be a TV show.
Merritt says Costas is the natural choice to host an MLB trivia show, and Costas isn't ruling it out.
Now that every league has its own network, there's an MLB network, there's an NHL, NBA, and NFL network, and they have programming 24/7, 365. So that is the natural landing place for a game like this, turned into a television show. Think Jeopardy with just a few little additional wrinkles.
Costa says he doesn't have to host it, but he would.
And I would think that with all the programming slots on these one-sport-only networks, it's a natural. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already, and I hope it does happen at some point down the line.
Costa says if you turn on the TV and see him hosting Merritt's show one day,
I'll be able to say, I got the job on Merritt. Might have been Tom Merritt rather than my own Merritt, but at least I got the job on Merritt.
Merritt is now 69. He just got trained to give tours at West Point, and he's a part-time teacher at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Speaking recently at a favorite sports bar in Cornwall on Hudson, he says the best thing about finishing the game is that it proves you can have a second act in life, and you don't have to resign yourself to being put on the shelf.
Being able to make a comeback, you know, to not just let it, you know, fade away, you know, that determination and explore new opportunities.
Costa says Merritt serves as a reminder of how wholesome sports can be. He says networks have gotten away from that.
He's a throwback to a time when people regarded sports a little differently, when it was less, you know, talking about sports now and debating sports has almost become a blood sport. You watch these debate shows on the various sports networks, and these are not always civil discussions. Whereas before, it used to be more genial. Sure, people had their preferences. Somebody like Willie Mays, somebody else like Mickey Mantle better, blah, blah, blah. But now we don't so much critique as condemn. We don't so much have preferences as out-of-control passions in some cases. And that's taken, I think, a lot of the charm out of it. But Tom, because of his age and because of the kind of person he is, comes from a gentler perspective when it comes to sports. And I think this game kind of feeds into that.
I never really thought it was going to be a path to riches, but the evolution and seeing my friends enjoy playing the game and then see total strangers enjoy playing the game, I just had a good feeling about it. You know, as a sports fan, this was my ambition. It's just to create something that sports fans could enjoy.
Costas, by the way, has played MLB Trivia Challenge.
Yeah, I have. And I did pretty well at it.
No surprise. Now, we couldn't do a story on a game without playing it ourselves, so our Ian Pickus and Jim Lavoulis went head-to-head for a few rounds in the studio.
Why am I nervous for this? What's wrong with me?
What Cubs hitter holds the franchise record for most home runs in his first five major league seasons with 107?
So it's got to be someone who came up with the Cubs, which makes me want to say Ernie Banks.
Okay, you're wrong. It's Chris Bryant.
Wow.
Aaron Boone is the manager of what major league team?
That's not fair. He was in Governor Cuomo's press conference today.
Hey, it's now your turn, number two.
That would be the New York Yankees.
Oh, that is correctamundo. Mark it your color, my friend. What jersey number did the Mariners retire to honor Hall of Fame Edgar Martinez?
I think it's 25.
It's 11.
Oh,
I don't know. You keep getting like the hard jersey number questions.
Maybe I shouldn't pick nicknames and numbers.
Yeah, why do you keep picking that category? What Rockies star became the first player since Mike Schmidt to leave the National League in home runs three times?
It is, I believe it is Nolan A.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy, that's right. You guys are doing pretty well.
You're fired.
That's it. That's my run.
The verdict? This game has the ability to bring you great pride or great shame. So, in a way, it's perfect for sports fans. But mostly, it did exactly what Merritt hoped it would for all those years. It brought us all together. Wait, are you guessing 22?
Yeah.
Okay, that's correct.
Yay!
But what I was going to tell you is that there is a Taylor Swift song called 22. Okay. And she wrote it when she turned 22. And the chorus goes, 22. Reporting from Cornwall on Hudson, I'm Jackie Orchard for WAMC News. By the way, as Costa surely remembers, Tony Gwynn scored the game-winning run as the National League took the 1994 All-Star Game. Keep it in mind if you ever play.
First at bat of the night for him. Swing and a drive into the gap in left center field. And up against the fence. This could do it. Being waved home is Quinn. They got a play to Rodriguez. Safe. Safe. And the six-game drought is over for the National League.
Such a cool story. Thanks for listening to it. Thanks to Jackie Orchard for taking the idea and running with it. All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.